fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com. Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're in the Psalms. We've got Psalm chapter 62, probably lost to most people in the last hour because I start talking about the Mark of the Beast issue. And, well, it's, most people are, it seems, tangled up in the system. And I know there is a growing number of people that are separating themselves from the that world Mark of the Beast monetary system. So it's a good thing to see that it's growing, and all these people in the so-called liberty movement unwilling to get rid of their slave number. Well, they're all pretenders as far as I'm concerned. They may feel pretty good about listening to Rush Jones and Alex Limbaugh and those kind of people on the radio every day and getting angry about unknown people that are bringing about a non-existent New World Order. Of course, the only one, the one that they imagine, not the one that is, while they maintain the status quo and keep their slave number and continue to participate in the very system that enslaves them with their numbering system. Because you know what? You have an identity number that belongs to someone else, then you belong to whoever identifies you. I have a, when you have a horse, you get to name the horse because you own the horse. When you have children, God gives you those children, you get to name those children. And if you have, you could, if you had, you know, 10 animals, you could name them 1 through 10. Give them any numbers you want to identify them, because that's what it's all about. Identification. So whoever gets to identify a thing is the owner of the thing. And if you have an identifying number that identifies you with the world, well, then you are in the world and you are of the world, because you have been created in the image of the world. And that's what it's all about. You just get into the law. A lot of people have about the socialist security system is an image created by men, and they recreate you in their image by giving you a number, and they change you from a living man into a fiction in their image that they create of you is a fiction. So they recreate you in their image, but most people believe that the image is them, and they are the image, and it becomes one and the same. Like most people will say things like, well, don't you have a social security number? Well, no, I don't. And actually, I used to believe I had one because I believed in the image. But now I know that I never did have one, that it was created by someone else who tried to apply a number to me, but it wasn't me and it wasn't mine. It was never mine. It never belonged to me. They just applied it. They used it to identify me as long as I would identify with it. If when I stopped identifying with it, well, they can no longer identify me with it. It's all about identity. Who are you? Well, I'm number 123-45-6789. You know, put your number here in these little boxes. Well, I'd have to say, well, no number. I leave the boxes blank if anyone asks me to fill them out, and a lot of times they'll come back and they'll say, oh, you forgot to put your Social Security number down. And the truth is, I don't have one. And they think that's impossible. Well, wasn't everyone born with a finger, an arm, and a leg? Then why don't you have a Social Security number? They find it unbelievable. And they'll say things like, well, how do you pay your taxes? How do you pay your taxes? I say, well, like everybody else, you know, when I pull up to the gas pump, I pay taxes. When I go to the store to buy something, I pay taxes. I pay taxes at every turn. You know, I pay lawful taxes. I pay every tax I owe. That's right. And God forbid that I should try to get away without paying any taxes that I don't owe. And I think everyone should pay all of their taxes that they owe. And if you've agreed to extra taxes, well, then I think you should pay those too. You should keep all of your agreements. Unless, of course, they break God's law. And then you need to get out of those agreements immediately. And when you're doing that, well, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, especially when you're dealing with a beast. You know, there's a reason that these governments are called beasts, because they can be wild and dangerous. And so when you're dealing with a beast, you definitely need to be wise as a serpent but harmless as a dove, because you can't hurt an image, but the image has people that worship it, that are controlled by it, that will hurt you. That's right. So be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove means that you do no harm to anyone. You don't harm the people that work for the image. You don't harm your neighbor. You don't steal from anyone else. While you're being wise as a serpent, you have to make sure that you harm no one. And that's what the Messiah was saying when he said, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. So when you're getting out of those ungodly contracts that require you to break God's law continually, you need to be wise to make sure you don't get trampled by the iron while you're trying to wiggle your way into the clay where you can be molded by our Creator. We continue here in chapter 62. Trust not in oppression. Become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. And if the works that you're doing are for him, if you're putting off these things because you trust in him, because I'll tell you, there are a lot of people who hear things like this and they'll immediately go out. A lot of people have had this experience. And they'll go out and they'll stop paying their agreed upon taxes while they keep their SS, their Socialist Security Identifying Number, identifying them as belonging to the authority that they've agreed to do business with. Because when you sign up for benefits, well, there's always a catch, isn't there? When you sign up for benefits, when you sign up for Social Security benefits, what you're saying to the Social Security Administration is I want the benefits you have to offer. And then they say to you, well, if you want our benefits, then you got to play by our rules, and we get to manage your financial affairs. And you say, oh, okay, and you sign up. Now, most of you didn't know what you were doing when you signed up for benefits, because you weren't really signing up for benefits. They were tricking you into signing up for benefits by telling you that you needed the number to work. So you thought you were just signing up to get a number to work. But why would you have to sign up for a number to work? Couldn't they just issue you a number to work? Yeah, you wouldn't have to sign anything in that case. That's right. They could just say, here's your work number. Your work number is this. But since you're signing an agreement for benefits, and that agreement means they get to manage your financial affairs, of course, that's reasonable. I mean, if I'm going to take care of you in your old age, or if you get sick or fall down or die, I'm going to take care of your family. It's reasonable that I get to manage your financial affairs, because where else am I going to get the money to manage your affairs except I get it from you? People need to understand what they're doing, what they've done, even if they didn't understand it when they did it. We can't keep the blinders on and go, oh, well, I didn't understand then, so now it doesn't matter because I'm already in it, or it isn't really that old. It isn't really what you're saying it is. They want to believe it's some benign thing that, or they'll say, oh, it's the law, everyone has to do it. Well, no, it's not. It's a free country, isn't it? I'm free to participate, and I'm free to withdraw my participation. And I have, on top of that, you have religious liberty. If you get converted, let's say, to the faith of the Bible, and you find out the law of your God says that you can't participate in these things anymore, so you repent. And of course, so you repent, and I have that in my declaration. I have a declaration of repent. It says there that, I further declare that I have repented of any and all past participation or entanglement with any numbering mark of the beast system. So I have religious liberty, First Amendment. I have religious liberty that allows me to repent and not have to do those things which would, break the commandments of my God and risk the punishment of eternal damnation. Yes, I can't do that. Don't want to go there. I have a religious liberty to not participate in anything that breaks God's law. So I will not trust in the oppression of others for the benefit of myself. I will not become vain in the robbery and say that it's nothing, it's okay. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Oh yes, I've participated for years, now my heart is set upon them. Okay. Also to thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Let your work be repentance, and let the Heavenly Father render unto you according to the works of your repentance. Let it be. It is. That's the way it is. Psalm 63 and verse 1, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I see thy power and thy glory. So I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Will I bless thee. While I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. And that's one I do have on my list of praise choruses. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice. And there he is again. In the shadow of thy wings. What's he doing in the shadow of his wings? Is that the covert of his wings? Is that the hiding place he's talking about? And what's David hiding from? Why is he in the shadow of his wings? Well, perhaps he feels like iron. I mean, perhaps he feels like clay amongst the iron in a way. And because that's our position today. It's all around us. The oppressors are all around us, looking for an opportunity to oppress the righteous. I will hide in the shadow of his wings, because thou hast been my help. Psalm 63, verse 7. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. And I do rejoice when I'm traveling about and I see a policy enforcer busy, or standing doing paperwork on the hood of his police cruiser. And I just rejoice. I rejoice that he's busy and that I'm hidden in the shadow of his wings. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. And you know, that's why David can rejoice in the shadow of his wings, because his soul followeth hard after God. Does your soul follow hard after Yahuwah? Then you can rejoice. Then you can rejoice in the shadow of his wing, knowing that he hides you, knowing that his hand is upon you. Thy right hand upholdeth me. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go down into the lower parts of the earth. We know their end. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. And of course, this is David speaking of himself. For everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Psalm 64. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. David, we talked about that. We feel the fear. Fear is real. Everybody is afraid. It is not wrong to be afraid. Fear is a gift from God. Think of it. It is a gift from God. You know, there's that famous quote, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Nonsense. I don't fear fear. The scripture says, be not afraid of sudden fear. So we don't have to fear fear. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. Well, I think what that really means is we have nothing to fear but to allow fear to rule over us. Preserve me, preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked. Yes, hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. It reminds me of course, a case where we have a righteous man in prison who they brought accusations against to destroy his reputation, saying that he was a pedophile and that he was producing pornography in his church buildings. And they brought the big army and all of the policy enforcers from, you know, SWAT teams, and they brought the news in, you know, all of the media in to cover the event. And they raided it. And they searched every computer, and they searched every drawer and every piece of paper, and they tore up all the books, and they looked everywhere they could. But they could not find one thing. They could not find one piece of child pornography which the blind pastor was said to be producing. The blind 70 or 4-year-old pastor was said to be producing internet child pornography. Yes, that's blind people do that all the time, don't they? But they couldn't find nothing. So they let him go. Oh, no, wait a minute. They said, well, we got to come up with something else. So they searched and they searched and they couldn't find anything. So they said, hey, here's a law we can use. Let's use this law and perhaps we can build a case. We can pay some people off or threaten people to come against and witness against this guy and build a case. So they did. That's what they did to him, and he's still in prison today awaiting trial. You know, usually, you know, if you're accused of something and they come in and find no evidence, don't they have to let you go and leave you alone? They go, oh, wait a minute, you know, we're not done with this guy yet. We got to find something. And that's how we know. I mean, everyone should know that this is persecution, plain as the nose on your face. But the world is dumb. And the media is stupid because they keep repeating the false accusations of the sullied, reputation of the man. And they repeat it over and over and over. He was accused. Who's been accused? He's accused of this, accused of that. And nothing was proved and he was exonerated. But still the man sits in prison. They shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him. The tongue Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongues like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. That's what they do. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. And I pray, Heavenly Father, every one of these wicked people, we're just waiting for you to shoot at them. I have no pity or mercy on these people. If they burn in hell forever, if they suffer 100, 1,000 times what they've dished out, it will not be enough. It will not be enough. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. For they shall wisely consider of his doing. And yes, Father, we would like to see some judgment in this case. Let it be. I've already seen one dead judge. Let them all fall dead as far as I'm concerned. Let them repent. But if repentance is not in them, let them all fall dead. Let them be. Let all men fear. That's right. The righteous shall be glad in Yahuwah and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. We're moving on here to Psalm 65. And perhaps we'll pick up there when we get back from our break here. You're listening to Cross the Border. Would like to hear from you. My website is crosstheborder.org. Go over there, find that email link to email me and shoot me an email. While you're there, watch the short video. Take advantage of the Bible studies there and share the website with as many people as you can. I'll be right back.
Marie! fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
FlyingEagleGold.com says don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman over the alternative media until you understand the full story. Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world at a very competitive cost. And Jeffrey takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. You're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're in Psalms 65. We just jumped into verse 1 here, so we're going to take it away. To the chief musician, a psalm and song of David, praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God, our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, of them that are far off and upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, by being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. they also shall dwell in the uttermost parts. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop into the pasture of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Psalm 66. To the chief musician a song or psalm. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thy works. Through greatness of thy power shall thy enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. I will pay thee my vows. How many of you have made a vow unto our God? How many people have said, I have accepted you as my Lord? Or how many people have just said, Jesus is Lord? Do you know the proclamation of Jesus as Lord? Do you know that that proclamation is a vow? That's a vow. If you say, Jesus is Lord, or Jesus is my Lord, that's a vow. That's a vow that he is your Lord and you are his subject. Or you say something like, I gave my life to Christ in, 1983 or whenever. I gave my life to Jesus. I belong to him. Those are vows. Are they not vows? So if you gave your life to him, that's a vow. I've given you my life. Now, it's yours. So I'm going to do whatever I want with it, right? No, it's not mine anymore. I can't do whatever I want. I made a vow. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. I wouldn't think it a light thing for you to say something like, Jesus is Lord, or I got saved. Well, I got saved and whatever. That's the year I got saved, and I don't know why the scripture says, work out your salvation, the being saved thing, with fear and trembling, and he who endures to the end shall be saved. So you can say you gave me your life, but you can't say I got saved in 1982. I mean, I guess you can say anything you want, but the scripture says that you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You pay your vows, in other words. And because if you don't pay your vows, well, there better be a lot of fear and trembling if you make a vow and you don't keep it. So you work out your salvation with fear and trembling, and he who endures to the end endures what? Well, keeping his vows. That's right. He who allows the Holy Spirit, because that's really the vow. When you say, I was saved, or you say, I gave my life to Jesus, or you say, Jesus is Lord, or Yahshua is Lord, however you might want to put it, what you're saying is that he's in charge. And he says, well, I send my Holy Spirit into your life to convict you of sin, to teach you righteousness, so that my law may be written upon your heart, and you may be my people, and I might be your God. That's the vow. So keep your vows, people. Realize first that you've made a vow, and he expects you to pay the vow. We've all made a vow if we call ourselves the people of God. Otherwise, I mean, without a vow, you cannot be his. Without a vow, you cannot enter in his kingdom. If you say you repented and you've given your life to him, he is now your Lord, then that is your vow. And you got it. It's just like all of these other contracts that people made with the world. They're vows. That's right. And you know what? There is a way out of the vow, yes. But you can't have the benefits of the vow if you get out. Because if you don't like his kingdom, if you don't want to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, you want to hold on to this sin or that sin, you can kid yourself. You can be like the scribes, the Pharisees, the pastors, the teachers, and the hypocrites that lead you up to the kingdom, but they suffer you not to enter because they don't go in themselves. They just sit there at the brink, and they feel all holy. I'm saved, they'll declare. I'm saved, 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 and no one can snatch me out of his hands. And once saved, always saved. But they're just sitting up there at the brink. You know, they've gone up to the kingdom, but they don't enter. And they don't allow those who are following them to enter. They just want to hold them at the brink. Why? Because they don't want the Holy Spirit to work. They don't want to allow the Holy Spirit to work in their lives. They don't want to give up some idolatry, some sin, some iniquity. They want to hold on to something. They just can't quite make it across the border into the kingdom of heaven. So keep your vow. Don't let it be empty words. There's enough empty words. He says, I will go to the house. I will go to thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered, and my mouth hath spoken when I was in trouble. Oh, yes. You know how many people, they get into trouble, and they, God, you get me out of this. And I will do whatever you want. That's a vow, isn't it? I will do whatever you want. A lot of people say that, some people are a little more conservative, and I'll give $1,000 to charity or something, and perhaps he was going to get him out of it anyway, or they were going to get out of anything anyway, and they think, oh, well, God didn't really do it, so they don't pay their vow, or they just go on and forget all about their vow. And go, did I make a promise to God? I don't think I did. I'm just dead. Whatever. And they move on and forget about it. But David says here, I will pay thee my vows, which I've uttered with my mouth, which my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. And of course, referring back to the priest temple sacrifice system, but applicable today. We should pay our vows. If we give him our life, he doesn't want burnt offerings of animals. He wants us. That's right. He wants our lives. He wants every minute of every day, and he rewards those that keep their vows. So the rewards are greater than anything you can give. Than anything you can give in keeping your vow. The rewards that come from him are greater, and they are everlasting. Verse 16, come in here, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Got a reservation to sin? Are you regarding iniquity in your heart? he will not hear you. But verily, God hath heard me, and hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away from my prayer, nor his mercy from me. So David, a man who's done some terrible things. We've all done terrible things, or at least desired to do terrible things in our lives. And according to the raised standard of the Messiah, just desiring to do a terrible thing is the same sin as doing it. Let's move on to Psalm 67. To the chief musician on Neginoth, a psalm of or song, God be merciful unto me, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon the earth, that thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously, and govern the nations upon the earth. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. And what a day it'll be when in the resurrection, when Yahshua comes, that stone created without hands strikes the image in the feet and becomes a great mountain symbolizing the kingdom of God, and it fills the whole earth. The nations, all the nations, will rejoice in our Heavenly Father and will praise the God of our salvation. Psalm 68. To the chief musician, a psalm or song of David. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. And I say, Amen. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. And you know, this is the one place in the authorized, well, in the 1611 King James Version. Let me take a look at that in the 16. I don't think I've ever done that. 68:4, and it says Yah, and it's spelled I-A-H. At least they didn't spell it with a J in the 1611. I've got that at my fingertips on my e-sword. And for all of you that aren't using e-sword yet, you know, if you're computer savvy at all, or at least have a computer, you should go to e-sword.net and download the program there and get it. And you can download different Bible versions. I have the one that comes with the e-sword is the King James Version plus the Strong's Greek and Hebrew. So you get the Textus Receptus, the majority text from which the King James Version was translated. By mousing over each word, you can see the original word, and then you get Strong's definitions with it. And you can search the word out in the original language to see how it was translated in other parts of the scripture, and that way we have scripture translating scripture rather than man translating scripture. And I also have downloaded the 1611. Just perchance, if you're interested in that, you go and you can find out there ain't a J in the whole thing, and you can learn a lot about the changes in the translation from the 1611 to, I believe it was the 1790s when the authorized version, what is called the authorized version, is an update by some scholars, and it was authorized by some denominations. That's why it's called the authorized version. I keep hearing people say the AV 1611, and there's no such thing. The authorized version is not the 1611. 1611 is the 1611. The authorized version came more than 100 years later during the 1790s, where they updated the language and they changed the names of the scripture and added the J's and did a lot of things to the scripture there. So we have here the one place in the King James translation, even if you go back to the 1611, where they left the name of the Creator in. I believe this is the one place here, and it's 68. Chapter 68, or Psalm 68, verse 4, and it says, I will sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah. And it's, I believe it's phonetically pronounced here, Yah, and it's spelled I-A-H instead of a Y-A-H, as in Yah, but phonetically it says Yah, I-A-H. And rejoice before him. Of course, in the authorized version, switch over there, and they changed it to J-A-H, Jah, because Jehovah, well, was popularized, and all of the names being changed to having J's in them was popularized by the authorized King James Version. And I'm still kind of wondering, I still haven't found any documentation on why they did that. Some of the updates in the language are self-explanatory, because I mean you're only 180 to 90 years from the original 1611 King James translation to this to updating the scripture. So they had some language changes, and we've had quite a few since then. So that even some of the authorized King James Version is still archaic, but. Be that as it may be, it still is the best English translation we have of the Word of God. And it is invaluable to have the ESORD, or if you're into a little bit more labor, a laborious type study, you can get a printed copy of the King James Version, and you can set next to it your Strong's Greek Hebrew Concordance and your Young's Greek Hebrew Concordance, which I used to do before the computer things became available. So I've been around a little while, and I still have both of those, the Strong's and the Young's, although I don't use them anymore because I have it at my fingertips here. I don't have the Young's, but on the computer I have the Strong's, because I don't see anyone has put the Young's on there yet. But perhaps it would be nice to have both. Perhaps that's a project that ESORD should take on, so you can have both, so you can switch back and forth from either. But they're pretty much the same, with very insignificant differences between the Strong's and the Young's Greek Hebrew concordance and dictionaries. But there it is. They left the name in Yah, or at least it's his name truncated. You know, it would be like you saying, instead of calling me Nicholas, it would be like saying Nick, which I really prefer my whole name, Nicholas, because Nick is somebody else, or it's something bad that happens to your prized coffee table. You know, you get a Nick in it, or your favorite coffee cup or something anyway. But that's my personal preference. And we find variations on the name. We find Yah, if we go back to the Hebrew, we find Yahuwah. That's the most numerous, and you know we find that more than 6,000 times, the phonetically pronounced in the Hebrew Yahuwah, translated as the Lord most of the time. And we find Yahuwee, and then we find here Yah, his name Yah, just declared the first syllable in the Hebrew. And let me see, where am I at? Okay, King James Plus version there with the Hebrew, so I mouse over, and that's what it says, Yah. And that's the pronunciation given by our friend in the Strong's Greek Hebrew concordance and dictionary and pronunciations. So, by his name Yah and his name Yahuwah, it's not Jehovah, it's Yahuwah, because the V was not pronounced. And if you go back to the 1611, you can find that there too, that the V's and the U's are juxtaposed in the 1611. You go, what happened there? And why is a W actually a double V. Well, it's because the V used to be a U. And so we see changes even in the English language over the past few hundreds of years that we've had since the early English translation in the 1611 King James Version of the Bible. And we'll pick up here and we'll carry on with chapter 68 or Psalm 68 next time on Cross the Border. So as always, in everything you say and in everything you do, praise His holy name. Hallelujah.
Why should the Father bother to call us His children? Why should the Spirit hear it when we pray? Why should the Father bother to be concerned with all our needs? It's all because of what the Son has done. Once we were lost out of
and we have taken